Welcome back to Voices from the Front Lines. Last Wednesday, a new study was published by UCLA that strengthens the link between air pollution and heart disease. The new research suggests that people with high cholesterol are especially vulnerable to heart disease when they're exposed to diesel exhaust and other ultrafine particles that are common pollutants in urban air. Joining us today is Rachel Lopez and Edgar Rojas of the Center for Community Action and Environmental Justice based in Riverside County. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. Edgar is going to try and we're not able to get both on the same phone line. So we're going to be trying to answer some of the questions together here.
Okay.
Bear with us. I'm sorry.
So I think just one of the things is around organizers for environmental justice have a really tough job. It's this whole balance of learning the science and what it does to the body environment, but then also taking those and kind of putting life into them so that people can go, okay, even though this has not affected me now, which it actually is, I need to make changes. I need to make choices that actually help change the environment, that makes it better for our kids and for ourselves. Right. So, Rachel, then what, in terms of these surveys that were just put out in the paper, did we learn anything new about this, or was this something we already knew and it was just kind of relearned it?
Well, I think it goes back to the same studies that have continued to come through within the last few years that indicates the links of pollution, fine particulate pollution. The first type of particulate pollution, they were studying the PM10. Now they're looking at the fine particulate pollution, and that is the deadliest of all the pollutions because that is so tiny that it you're unable to cause.
I think we might have lost Rachel. Well, we're going to try to get her back on the phone. But one of the things that, you know, she was just talking about in relation to the particulate matter, you know, those are part of what is actually in smog. So smog is made up of a lot of different things, particulate matter being one of them, which talks around, induces irregular heartbeat, inflammation in the blood vessels, creates plaque, whatnot. But along there's also nitrogen oxides, carbon dioxide, carbon monoxide, and all these different things not only lie in relation to cars and diesels, but also a lot of the building industries. So when we get Rachel back on the phone, we're going to see there's also some other stuff that the Air Quality Board actually changed in relation to some of this stuff. So Rachel, do we have you back on?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no problem. I all the time hang up on the phone with my face.
It's all good.
So you were talking about particulate matter and the kind of their effects on our lungs and our bodies and our environment.
Right. So it does, the fine particulate pollution that they're talking about is the deadliest of all, because it is so tiny that it can't be coughed up, it can't be sneezed out. It goes deep into the lungs and embeds itself in our cells and also into our bloodstreams. Study after study indicates that the closer one is to the freeways, living, even driving on the freeways with all the congestion on the freeways, there's a recent study about that. So, I mean, all of this surrounding our communities, especially even the poorer communities, the Latino communities in the Riverside and San Bernardino area, where the land use is such a problem because of the availability to the freeway. You know, most of the industrial area is put close to the freeways, and also the homes, without regard to where it's being put in, into the lower income communities. And so these are the types of things that we're looking at, that we're talking to community members about and trying to inform them on a daily basis.
I think it's interesting because I saw actually on your press release you had a picture of this home where, you know, children are playing. And I guess it's right next to either Etiwanda, which is a really heavy traffic street. When you said 800 trucks go by each hour.
Yes. And not only is that already happening, that particular community of Mira Loma Village has been fighting since 2005 six more additional warehouses within their community that are going to put up behind that community of 101 homes. And not only that, they're looking at a piece of property that's across the street from that same area that you're looking at in that particular picture to bring in another intermodal hub into that community so that they'll be able to bring in more containers to break up, to split up, and then continue on to their destinations across country.
So on that same kind of report, you say that Mira Loma has the highest levels of particulate matter in the U.S.
Yes.
And it's fourth and worst particulate pollution in the world, only after Jakarta, Indonesia, Calcutta, India, and Bangkok, Thailand.
Right.
So
very, very daunting. I mean, it's just unbelievable that this is all happening within our community.
And not to mention that also the Port of Los Angeles is, you know, they're trying to expand it three, four, and five-fold.
Oh, they are expanding.
Yeah.
I mean, as we speak, that the ports are expanding and only bringing in more and more of these containers. The railroad is putting more onto their trains and bringing in more on trucks. So it's not a matter of taking them off the trucks and putting them on the trains. They're trying to get them out of there as fast as they possibly can and using both trains and trucks to transport them across the area into Riverside and on beyond our area here. So all this whole inland area is an inland port.
Right. So is Edgar on the speakerphone?
No, Edgar?
Okay. I could still talk to you because it's kind of hard to change back and forth.
It is. It's a little hard to change back and forth.
So just in terms of the stuff around goods movement,
yes.
You know, you would ask the normal person, you say, because the whole... just a little bit about our kind of fight in relation to the MTA. We're trying to get a bus-only lane up and down Wilshire, as well as other places. One, to get people to have an adequate public transportation system that gets people where they need to go. But then the second one is actually to squeeze the trucks off the road, because we think that the only way that it's going to be able to stop is if they are limited in terms of their space.
Right.
The opposition then says, well, that's just going to hurt the economy, the goods movement industry, et cetera, et cetera. But I think if you ask most people, you know, would you prefer economic growth, which we don't really actually see the results of that, or health? Most people would say health. So then in terms of that, like, how do you actually make those links to make it more today as opposed to in 15, 20 years, I might have respiratory diseases or problems?
Well, I think the link is through some of these studies. But not only that, I think we need to look at our children. We're older. We don't breathe as fast as they do. They're outdoors more than we are. They're playing in the fields. They're playing at school, especially in our area where we have an auto facility, a rail yard owned by Union Pacific that is right next door to our high school, right on the corner across the street from our athletic field. And these kids are out there playing and practicing every day, working out in that environment. And these are the kids that are the ones that are suffering from asthma. These are the kids that whose lungs are going to be suffering later on. They're going to feel the effects as they get older. It's something that can't be reversed. Once they have low function, low lung function, slow lung capacity, the problem is there. It's not going to go away. The damage has been done. And so these children will be suffering from respiratory diseases as they get older. And, you know, you get past 50, you get past 60, and, you know, it's kind of downhill sometimes. And you're already starting with a stacked deck, you know, in this type of environment, this type of air quality issue.
So there has actually been a little bit, and I want to get your sense of how much movement this is, but the Air Resource Board actually is now requiring the building contractors to retrofit particle matter filters on their diesel equipment.
Particulate filters.
How much is this a victory? Is this a step in the right direction? Where we will want to see it, not far enough?
It's a little, not enough. You know, I mean, I think a lot of it has to do with adding on, you know, the low sulfur fuels, the particulate traps for the trucks and that. But I think our local agencies, for local residents that already live in these areas that are inundated with the big box warehouses, with the truck traffic, with the trains, with the rail yards next door to their homes, I think it's a little bit, you know, and not enough, not fast enough.
What are the things that you would want to see? Because, you know, what's the next phase that you would want to see added to this? And what would the differences be between that and what they've currently required this industry to do?
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, smarter growth. I think looking at the communities that already exist, a moratorium on anything new coming into those particular communities, any more industry next to homes, to residents that are already there, to schools, especially our schools. They continue to build, and these schools are situated next to freeways, next to off-ramps, next to huge streets, fairways, that the traffic is just continuously going by on a daily basis. And so I think looking at where they're building and how they're building is an issue that they need to work with existing communities to find out what is it that we really need in our communities. How can we help? You know, talking to more communities sitting at the table with developers and local agencies to try to alleviate some of it. I know that all of it can't, you know, possibly be taken away at this point, but I think making it better by allowing for buffer zones between at least 1,500 feet, even 1,000-foot buffer zones between industrial facilities, diesel facilities, so freeways, busy streets, and housing and schools and hospitals, all of the sensitive receptors that are in the communities, especially our children.
So how then is it that, in terms of the Air Resource Board, are there any kind of teeth in this? Because I know a lot of times there are recommendations, but like for the MTA, we had to sue them several times for them to actually do some of the stuff the courts told them to do.
Right.
So is there accountability in this?
Not strong enough. Community feels that it's not strong enough. I think they need to be tougher. I think the regulations, I think a lot of communities feel that they need to be tougher. We, our organization, along with community, have sued the county of Riverside 6 times and won, you know, and the same thing keeps happening with building these facilities too close to homes, too close to schools, and yet, you know, we continue to win on this, on the CEQA, on the California Environmental Quality Action issue, and it's they continue to do it, but I don't know what the final answer is, except to have developers work with community, with residents, and listen to us, not just, you know, tell us that, you know, we're doing the best we can. We need them to do more. We need them to do it more and faster and do what they can do now to protect our children, to protect the homes and residents that are living close to these industrial areas. I don't know what else to say, and I know I want to put Edgar on the phone real quick so he can talk a little bit about what, you know, he works in the community and what residents are saying.
Rachel, we're actually a little bit over time, so we already had Peggy, we had Penny on previously on the show, so I think we'll go for a next round on another show and get you guys on. But you've been listening to Rachel Lopez with Edgar Rojas in the background with support, and they're with the Center for Community Action and Environmental Justice. If you want to get a hold of them, 951-360-8451. That's 951-360-8451. Thank you both for being on the show.
Thank you.
And I will definitely have you on again, because the EJ movement needs to stick together.
Well, this is just a little bit of the iceberg.
Exactly.
There's more there, and, you know, I think, you know, we need to stick together and really give a big push for taking care of these quality of life issues.
So you've been listening to Voices from the Frontline on 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara. We're going to go to a break right now, and we'll be back with Camilo Mejia, who is the author of a brand new book called The Road from Ar-Ramadi, The Private Rebellion of Staff Sergeant Camilo Mejia. We'll be right back after this break.